This was really a dream come true for us, a dream we didn't really know we were looking for.
Did you understand at the time just how big the tiny home craze was?
Oh, certainly not at the time, but quickly thereafter, it's solving a lot of problems for a lot of people. And I think the more popular it becomes, the more variety we're seeing in the demographic of folks that are wanting to go tiny.
Tiny home has been by far one of my favorite things to talk about and experience with Nationwide Marketing Group and at Primetime. Obviously, the Primetime at New Orleans was where our tiny home debuted, and you know that was right there was the voice of Joanna Elsner, co-owner of Perch and Nest, the company behind the tiny home, who worked with Nationwide with Derek Matala here at Nationwide to make that tiny home come to life, and we are so very excited to have her as our guest on the next Independent Thinking podcast here and talk with me, your host, Rob Stott. We had a great conversation, Joanna and I, about the tiny home, about you know their business, the space in general, which has exploded just in the last 5 years. You know, I remember watching HGTV and being exposed to this tiny home niche as it was a couple of years ago and thinking, man, that's crazy. And, you know, it didn't seem like something that would take off the way it has. And certainly has generated a lot of interest and you know provided a lot of success to companies that were able, like Perch and Nest, to get involved early and be a leader in this space. So had a great conversation with Joanna about all sorts of stuff related to the tiny home and you know their company and what they're doing. So really don't want to waste any more time you know ahead of this conversation. So let's just go ahead and dive into our podcast with Joanna Elsner of Perch and Nest. So one of the things that I, the last Primetime in New Orleans was incredibly excited to see, and this was before I joined the Nationwide Marketing Group team, you know, running the run-up to that show in New Orleans, there was a lot of press around this tiny home, and, you know, got to New Orleans and was blown away by the experience, and, you know, right now, I'm more than excited to talk with and talk about the tiny home with someone who was really, you know, a big part of the reason why this home exists. And Joanna Elsner from Perch and Nest, the company that, you know, worked with Nationwide to make this tiny home become a reality. First of all, appreciate you taking the time to call in and chat with us today.
Oh, thanks for calling us up.
No problem at all. And, you know, like I said, you know, this tiny home has sort of been almost a dream for me. We were talking about before getting on the call, you know, how I've offered my services to just live in this home, you know, since it's been around. But, you know, a lot to dive into with this. But, you know, co-owner of Perch and Nest with your husband, Tom. And, you know, as you put it, you know, the do everything but carpenter, carpentry
yeah,
for Perch and Nest. So
that's
tell us a little bit about, you know, your company and kind of, you know, where how you got to where you are today.
Well, you said it was, you know, kind of a dream come true for you. This was really a dream come true for us, a dream we didn't really know we were looking for. But my husband apprenticed with his grandfather, who was a master carpenter, almost 20 years ago. And, you know, just the nature of that work and the world that we live in, that kind of took him into building furniture and just traditional large housing, lots of built-ins and custom carpentry and that kind of thing. And I was in the world of accounting for a long time post going to culinary school. So we have a very eclectic background. But we had always dabbled in home design. It's something that we've always liked. We were always flipping our own houses and moving, and we've always been do-it-yourselfers. But we purchased a 125-year-old farmhouse about 5 years ago.
Wow.
And after we moved into our farmhouse, some friends came to our house and said, we want you to help us build a tiny house. And we said, what's a tiny house? And it was, you know, a light bulb went off for lack of a better explanation. You know, we had gotten involved in all of these really large home projects for a long time, and we loved our work. And there was always initial excitement about every project, but it seemed that by the end of every project, it felt daunting. We were having this feeling of always wanting it to just be over with. and that kind of that idea, just building tiny, just seemed to make sense. It was, everybody talks about minimizing their carbon footprint or minimizing their debt, or, you know, all the benefits and obvious things we know that tiny house living has brought to a lot of people. That kind of was brought to our business. We realized we could work from home at this farm that we had just purchased and spend more time with our children, that we could work in home design that we loved so much, but not in this, you know, overwhelming venue that we just weren't finding our niche in. And then, you know, ultimately we found out once we started designing tiny houses and getting involved in the tiny house community that we had found our people. You know, I mean, it's, it is still a very diverse environment, but just lots of people with great backgrounds and great stories and just wanting to do things kind of outside the box, whether it's for their life or their business or their children or whatever, they're pursuing and quote unquote going tiny. So that's how we ended up where we are. And now 5 years later, we've built almost 30.
Wow.
And none of them have been the same. And I don't think we'd ever want it that way. They all bring their own challenges, but it's a great place to be. And we're, you know, especially this time of year, we're very thankful.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. And so, I mean, sort of logistically speaking, was it Perch and Nest came first, or was it the tiny home that came first? Like, and then you guys, you know, worked your way into the tiny home category, you know, niche, or, you know, what was the chicken and egg situation here?
Of course we have to use the chicken and egg analogy. you know, so those friends of ours that I mentioned that came to us, they are now probably, they are the world's most traveled tiny house. They're pretty well known. Tiny House Expedition. They're big bloggers and tiny house enthusiasts, helping people all over the U.S. and Canada develop communities and that kind of thing. And so it took us about a year. It was a community project building their tiny house. We had a lot of people involved, including Habitat for Humanity. And so by the end of that first year, we had commissioned building tiny houses for a couple of folks that we'd met through that project. But at the end of that year, I said, you know, maybe we should have a tiny house company. and so that's how Perch and Nest kind of was spawned out of, you know, that need to refine our carpentry company into tiny houses specifically, but also the fact that we live on a 125-year-old farm and we had just gotten our first chickens. And, I love a theme. So if you ever go to our website, you'll see we have taken off with the bird and farm theme.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. No, excellent website, which could be a whole nother podcast, but, you know, the idea, like when you guys, you know, took this project for your friends, did you understand at the time just how big the tiny home craze is, or how big it was?
Oh, certainly not at the time, but quickly thereafter, you know, 5 years has made a huge difference in the tiny house community. You know, there's a lot of people, builders and communities and things popping up every day. But, you know, I would say that I would even gamble to say there was probably less than two dozen tiny house companies 5 years ago in the country. And so if somebody knew that you were willing to build tiny houses, you were getting a lot of contact pretty quickly. And, you know, truth be told, the first few years were very busy, and we kind of just had to find our way and figure out what we wanted to do and what we didn't want to do. and, you know, and again, we're very thankful for all the attention, and, you know, and we're happy that, you know, people are finding the solution for, you know, their housing or their business and everything in between.
Certainly. And I mean, you know, I could think just in my own experience, you know, having been exposed to tiny homes prior to Nationwide, you know, I think of, you know, seeing shows on HGTV and you know, these 100 square foot homes that it seems like I was just more attuned to it. Not that I'm, you know, a tiny homeowner in any sort of way, but seeing the people that were featured on those shows, a lot of them, you know, millennials, I think is something that, you know, may not surprise a lot of people, but, you know, what do you think it is though? Is it a generational thing? Like why has this industry or this space, this niche really exploded as much as it has over the last few years?
Well, I think it started with exactly what you described. It is millennials, and, you know, the great thing about that is they're seeing that they want to have experiences rather than stuff. And that's kind of the thought behind having a smaller home. There's a lot of, people that are concerned with their carbon footprint. So I think that's how it started. But I think that it's so much more now. I mean, I can tell you, we don't see any one demographic. We're seeing just as many millennials as we're seeing retired folks that are downsizing. We're seeing people that are just starting to have their first children and they're saying, look, I know I'm going to be at home. I don't want the big house to take care of, or we want to live debt free. I think it's everything that we can all guess, the benefits to just living smaller. I'm not paying for a large house. I'm not taking care of a large house, but there's also the versatility, and that's where the wheeled piece comes in.
Right.
People's, you and I can both probably speak to this. We don't know where our careers are going to take us. We want the flexibility. We have a lot of sandwich generation people now that people are living longer. So, I just talked to someone this morning who has a parent who needs full-time caregiving, but everybody still needs their own space. So, parent is going into a tiny house in the backyard. But we've also built a tiny house for a child who was living in a parent's backyard.
Wow.
And so I think it resolves a lot of the issues that we've created putting distance between family members. And then we've talked a lot about this with our own son, is he's 2 years away from graduating high school. He will most likely go to college, and we will most likely have to pay for housing at said college. We've talked about, well, what if you just took a tiny house? You're now in college. You own a home. When you finish college or don't finish college, you can take that home with you. If you get a job across the country, you can take that home with you. And so, I mean, it's a really cool thing. I think it, we all know that we're all spending a lot of money on housing, and there's a housing shortage too. So it's, like I said, it's solving a lot of problems for a lot of people. And I think the more popular it becomes, the more variety we're seeing in the demographic of folks that are wanting to go tiny.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And kind of along the lines of what you're talking about, being able to pick that home up and move it. From someone who may not be familiar with the space or sort of how it works, obviously there's a variety in the type of tiny home and whatnot, but even backing up a step and looking at the logistics of moving a house, I think the closest thing that this relates to is sort of, you think of a trailer and people, driving around, moving around, sort of like camp yards and stuff. Like that's not necessarily how this tiny home community works. So what is that, what's the logistics of having this tiny home and aside from, having 125 acres where or a big backyard where you could put something like this in, what's the logistics for someone that is a tiny homeowner and, just being able to pick up and move?
Well, it's obviously going to depend on their specific tiny home. There's lots of tiny flavors, and there's lots of wheeled tiny flavors. What we do specifically, and is very common, is we build a tiny house RV. And what that means is, on paper, it's an RV. It meets DOT requirements and all those types of things. And it meets a footprint of an RV. So even though it's built like a home and it's built to last like a home, so what you're putting your money in is longevity, just like a foundation house. But the convenience of the RV and the fact that it meets all of those codes and fits in that footprint means that it can be in someone's driveway if it needs to be. It can be in an RV park. It could be at a national park. You might not have 125 acres, but you most certainly probably have a parking spot that you can access easily. And most people in tiny homes, truth be told, are not traveling often. What they want is the versatility. So most of them are sitting for years at a time, and when they need to go, they're hiring a professional mover and they're meeting them at their destination. But even if they were traveling full time or moving it themselves, just like traditional campers and RVs, if you have to spend an overnight in a Walmart parking lot, it's absolutely possible. But that's not, to get to your point, that's not what most people living in tiny houses are looking for. They're really wanting something more than a traditional mobile home. And that's another, I think, advantage to it. it's a lot more having very nice materials and high-end appliances like we've done for Nationwide is more tangible in a smaller footprint. You know, if you want marble countertops, it's a little bit more easier to achieve when your home is only 300 square feet. So that's honestly a lot of what we design around, is people that really want a nice home with high-end finishes, but they don't want the footprint of a large house, and they don't want the commitment of owning traditional real estate.
Right. Well, how about getting the mail? You know, you think about something like that, as simple as that. Is it, is it, you know, do you, because you're not on a street necessarily, you know, yeah. You could be in a parking lot. So, I mean, what's the challenge from that perspective, as far as, you know, just getting something like mail delivered? Is that something
that's
that these guys have to
question.
Think about?
It is something to think about, but not something people talk about very often. But having an address is important. You know, and it's really just going to depend on your parking situation. You know, if you asked me where are most people parked, I would say most people are on private property, meaning there's usually another house on the property, and that's the address that they're using. But of course, if you were in an RV park, or there's tiny house communities, which I failed to mention that, and those are popping up all over the country. We have two here in North Carolina, and all these places have PO boxes. So, you know, and that's the advantage to living in one of the full-time communities. They have things like a clubhouse and PO boxes and pools and frisbee golf courses and all those fun things. So there's a community element too for people that are living tiny.
Oh, that's awesome. So clearly, I think this kind of gets at my next question, and maybe you know, kind of negates it, maybe possibly. But you know, it seems like it's more than just a fad at this point, and it's really catching on. So this is something I think, you know, I maybe biased asking you because you have a business in this space. But you know, do you feel like this is a niche that will continue to grow and last for years and years to come?
I do. I mean, you know, from a business perspective, I'm not naive. I worked in public accounting and corporate accounting for 15 years before doing this. So, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, I'm a forward thinker in terms of business. And so, you know, we're always thinking about, well, you know, what if this doesn't work out? But I think what we're going to see is more and more builders pop up and more just tiny resources. And we're seeing that all the time, websites for materials and, you know, professional workshops if you want to build some of it yourself and all this kind of stuff. But no, I think that we are finding out that this is a stable housing option, and it's kind of where we're going. You know, to start with the millennials don't want stuff. You see articles pop up about that every single day, and that's not a bad thing, that's a great thing. But we're also seeing the people on the other end of the spectrum that are downsizing, and everyone in between. And you know, of course, we could get into all the bits and pieces of where our economy's headed. So I don't think it's a fad. I think it's now becoming a choice for a lot of people, or, you know, just as much as, you know, whether or not you want to live in 6,000 square feet or, you know, 300 square feet in New York City for a lot of money.
No, that's awesome. And, you know, turning attention now to Nationwide and you know, the project that you guys have that came about recently, over the past, it debuted back in August, but certainly probably more than a year ago at this point. But the Nationwide Tiny Home, tell me how this project came about for you guys.
Well, you know, Derek lives in town in the same city that we do, and naturally he reached out to us, and we had a few emails back and forth. I was really excited to hear from him. Being in the tiny house business, you're always thinking outside the box. I mean, whether or not it's, you know, in terms of what the intended user, what the intentions of the user are, or what we need to include in the house, or just using traditional building materials in a different way. But I was excited that he was, you know, explaining to us that, look, we set up these big events, you know, a couple times a year, which involves setting up entire kitchens for so many days and then tearing them down. And, you know, to build a tiny house would, you know, instead of going to these events and setting up, they would just show up. And I was like, oh my goodness, that is so smart. You know, everybody that contacts us has some new great idea, but I thought to myself at the time, you know, that what a great business solution, because over time, obviously it's going to pay for itself, but they just saved themselves so much time and money by just showing up with their display anywhere they need to go. So to answer your question, Derek and I had a few back and forth conversations. As soon as we spoke, we absolutely hit it off, and I was really excited about the project. And we were able to, I think we got it underway within 30 days. We were able to get everything committed to and get started.
No, that's awesome. And you know, to his point, and you touched on it perfectly as well, you know, the idea, you know, you think about this from the trade show side of things and Nationwide, you know, putting on two prime times a year, and the Connected Home division at Nationwide is relatively new. And you think about the experience they try to create at a trade show, and booths that get set up and torn down every show. This is, you know, the tiny home essentially is a booth, you know, for Nationwide, and something that you're able to walk through and see, you know, exist as it's meant to, not necessarily in a trade show booth setting, but right. It still has that same sort of impact and kind of gets people to realize the possibilities in a completely different way, sort of kind of, you know, apropos of the tiny home space in general.
Right, exactly.
When you look at this project from, obviously, the size of the home is something that stands out to people and is noteworthy. But then, you know, looking, I know something that Derek and his team were very excited about with this was the technology within the home. Mm-hmm. You know, the automation aspect of everything from the appliances to, you know, the entertainment experience. If I remember right, there's TVs and connected speakers, all that sort of stuff in this tiny home. So
lots and bells and whistles.
You mentioned that every tiny home is different that, you know, you've built and that Perch and Nest has been a part of. Have you seen anything or been a part of anything with as much technology bells and whistles as you put it?
I have to be honest and say no. We have, had several, you know, we've done cameras and things like that for folks and automated lights and, you know, all contingent on their specific parking plan, but nothing this quote unquote smart. And that was really exciting to see come together.
Did it present any, you know, unique challenges for you guys?
It really didn't. I will say that Nationwide really had done their homework and was very, communicative with, their partners that were involved in getting us in touch with them. I'm trying to think of maybe one of the biggest challenges we had. It wasn't really around the smart stuff. I sound like such a layman saying that, I know. all these little smart things. But, you know, it was just designing around all of the full-size appliances. But once we tackled that in the footprint they needed to be able, you know, to travel frequently, the rest came together pretty easily. We had brief meeting with Derek and his team, and we kind of joked because we put so many speakers in the house. And, of course, you know, my job is to minimize people's needs. So I said, well, you could do one outdoor speaker and one indoor speaker. You guys, they said, absolutely not. We're doing four inside and four outside.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, crazy. So, and, you know, they had to explain a lot of things to me about the needs of the trade show. You know, that's what's so great about the technology now is, you know, I know that they had a lot of research to do and a lot of things to learn. And, but the way that, you know, once it all came to us and given their explanations, it was made very simple. You know, everything's Bluetooth connected, and they came out, I think, and spent a day, at our shop right before their, appearance in New Orleans and had it all connected and ready to go.
That's awesome. Is there one part of this home that, you know, stands out to you or, you know, if you had to pick a favorite aspect of this project in particular, you know, what would that be?
Oh, goodness. You know, other than it was just all around fun. I just to give you a side note, you know, we're used to dealing with someone that's going to live in the home. And so somebody is very passionate about what's going to happen. And it's still a fun process, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have to be, you know, very, you have to listen to what their needs are and what their wants are. It's their home. But Derek was very much, you guys are the experts, just as long as we get all this in there. So it was fun designing, but at the same time, you know, we wanted to make sure that we got them something that was going to be a crowd pleaser. But I think if I had to pick something, I would say I really liked that we were able to get that hub in the kitchen, because that's not something you're going to see every day in a tiny house. And, you know, the few contractors and things that we had come into the home for the last phases of installations, everybody wanted to know what that was, and we had it powered up, and we were like, oh yeah, you'll be able to turn the TV on from the kitchen and all that kind of stuff. So that was a lot of fun. I would say that's my favorite aspect of the home that we designed around.
That's pretty cool. And I you mentioned, this might not have been built for someone to live in necessarily. I beg to differ because if they don't look or keep an eye on it, I may be driving off with that tiny home at some point.
Well,
I've joked about it a lot at this point, to the point where I wouldn't be surprised if they're concerned with how much I'm joking about living in this tiny home.
we made sure, and we talked about this in the design of that home, that it could be lived in. There is nothing missing. There is plenty of storage. Everything is operational. Water will flow. You have an off-grid toilet that's incinerating. It's really cool. It is ready to be plugged in and plugged up to water and could be lived in at a moment's notice.
You are just adding fuel to my fire.
I mean, somebody should keep an eye on it.
If I had to be the one to volunteer, I mean, you twist my arm, maybe I'll do it. If they ask nicely enough.
Right. I mean, and you would do it for free. We won't
Of
even charge
course.
you.
Of course, I will take care of it. No problem whatsoever. So no, it's so cool. And I mean, just to walk through it and see what this showcase of technology and just the idea of the tiny home, incredible. And I know, for you guys, quite the showcase as well for what you're able to do, from a building tiny homes and sort of, contribute to the space. But when you think about Nationwide Members, and we sort of talked beforehand about how, the tiny home is going, it's making its rounds. Derek Matala is the keeper of the calendar, as I called him, and making sure that the members who want to bring this home to their store and show it off in their communities are able to do so. When you think about that, what then in your view can Nationwide Members, get out of this that they can apply to their retail businesses?
Well, I mean, I think you hit on one of the bigger points, and that's that it is kind of this mobile smart home, and that's absolutely impressive to have to be able to just pull up and pull out an iPad or what have you and power this thing and all of its, elements up. But, tiny houses are a crowd pleaser. They still get a lot of attention. People are always excited to get into tiny houses. So I think from a marketing standpoint, I hope to see these retailers have people come out because they're excited to get into a tiny home, and they see that there's one, a real one you can get into that's not just on HGTV. And then, of course, to be able to see all the offerings that this retailer has once they are in the tiny home is going to be great.
That's awesome. And like I said, if they needed to get around, they have a volunteer driver on hand, at least in the Northeast region of the country. So I'm
Absolutely.
happy to take it wherever they need it. But
Well, and like we talked about, everybody's always contacting us about how to get in perch and nest homes all over the country. So we'll piggyback that and send folks their way.
No, that's not, well, to you too. Where is there a geographical sort of reach that you guys, confine yourselves to, or is this, have you helped, do you have clients coming from all over the place?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We have houses all over the country. That's the benefit to them, being legal, titled RVs, is they can, even though they're heavy and built like a home, they can be picked up and taken anywhere, just like Nationwide is doing. And so we have them delivered all over the country. We have yet to have one go into Canada, but it's absolutely possible since it's a U.S. built vehicle. And certainly they could be shipped anywhere in the world for that matter, but we have them in California and Vermont and everywhere else.
Oh, that's awesome. So, certainly a space that we'll continue to follow, and clearly with our own perch and nest built tiny home in-house at Nationwide, one that we'll continue to get to experience as we go from show to show. So, Joanna, I appreciate you taking the time. This has been a really fun conversation, one, like I said, I was looking very much forward to, and didn't disappoint.
Absolutely. Well, when you move into that tiny, you let me know where your PO box is. I can send you a package.
I will do that. I much appreciated. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Bye-bye.
Awesome. And a huge thank you again to Joanna for taking time and giving us a little sneak peek into the world of perch and nest and what it's like, building tiny homes and providing the dwellings for these communities that are popping up all over the place. So really cool to learn about that, and certainly look forward to staying in touch with them and following, and maybe potentially someday living in our tiny home here at Nationwide. But as always, appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.